Chapter 20. The Nature of Evil. Bond made good progress. When Mathis came to see him 3 days later, he was propped up in bed and his arms were free. The lower half of his body was still shrouded in the oblong tent, but he looked cheerful, and it was only occasionally that a twinge of pain narrowed his eyes. Mathis looked crestfallen.
"Here's your check," he said to Bond. "I've rather enjoyed walking around with 40 million francs in my pocket, but I suppose you'd better sign it, and I'll put it to your account with the Credit Lyonnais. There's no sign of our friend from Smersh, not a damn trace. He must have got to the villa on foot or on a bicycle, because you heard nothing of his arrival, and the two gunmen obviously didn't. It's pretty exasperating. We've got precious little on this Smersh organization, and neither has London. Washington said they had, but it turned out to be the usual waffle from refugee interrogation, and you know that's about as much good as interrogating an English man in the street about his own secret service, or a Frenchman about the deuxième."
"He probably came from Leningrad to Berlin via Warsaw," said Bond. "From Berlin they've got plenty of routes open to the rest of Europe. He's back home by now, being told off for not shooting me too. I fancy they've got quite a file on me in view of one or two of the jobs M's given me since the war. He obviously thought he was being smart enough, cutting his initial in my hand."
"What's that?" asked Mathis.
"The doctor said the cuts looked like a square M with a tail to the top. He said they didn't mean anything." "Well, I only got a glimpse before I passed out, but I've seen the cuts several times while they were being dressed, and I'm pretty certain they're the Russian letter for SH. It's rather like an inverted M with a tail. That would make sense. Smersh is short for Smert Spionam, death to spies, and he thinks he's labelled me as Spion. It's a nuisance, because M will probably say I've got to go to hospital again when I get back to London and have new skin grafted over the whole of the back of my hand. It doesn't matter much. I've decided to resign."
Mathis looked at him with his mouth open.
"Resign?" he asked incredulously. "What the hell for?"
Bond looked away from Mathis. He studied his bandaged hands. "When I was being beaten up," he said, "I suddenly liked the idea of being alive. Before Le Chiffre began, he used a phrase which stuck in my mind, playing Red Indians. He said that's what I had been doing. Well, I suddenly thought he might be right. You see," he said, still looking down at his bandages, "when one's young, it seems very easy to distinguish between right and wrong. But as one gets older, it becomes more difficult. At school, it's easy to pick out one's own villains and heroes, and one grows up wanting to be a hero and kill the villains." He looked obstinately at Mathis. "Well, in the last few years, I've killed two villains. The first was in New York, a Japanese cipher expert cracking our codes on the 36th floor of the RCA building in the Rockefeller Center, where the Japs had their consulate.